The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Howard, like the rest of my country, I'm very, very saddened today as we mourn Rabbi Raziel Shevach Zichron Divracha, a rabbi from the settlement or the town of Havat Gilad in the West Bank, who was killed in a drive-by shooting last night. He was a father of five. He was a medic with Magen David Adom, and he was regarded as a true tzaddik, the unofficial rabbi of Havat Gilad, very, very much a role model, and we're absolutely devastated that once again we have to report on a terror attack happening here in Israel just last night.
Yeah, in fact, we were chatting to David Effian from the Algemeine a little bit earlier today, and I was asking him if what kind of publicity and what kind of an international press this has received, and I would love to see a comparison between this, a murder of a father, of a rabbi, with five children, compared to Ahed Tamimi, who attacked a soldier and who was unharmed, but she was just arrested. And you see that all over the international press. But here you've got a guy that was just a person who lived his life, from what we could tell, to do good, and was just mowed down in the prime of his life. For being Jewish.
Absolutely. You know, and while we talk about Ahed Tamimi, who is enjoying a lot of press, and I know that there is a movement, you know, not our children movement, a lot of people are saying, you know, it's a disgrace, she's in solitary, she's in prison. First of all, let us just remind you that Ahed Tamimi comes from the Tamimi family, who are professional provocateurs. This is what they do for a living, and I don't mean that lightly. This is a Bassem Tamimi, who is the patriarch of the family, trots out his children to provoke, to get a response, to bring media attention. His wife posted a picture to Facebook a couple of months ago where precisely one should stab a Jew for maximum effect and for death. Also, Ahed Tamimi, I know there are a lot of reports that she's only 16 years old. She's actually 18 years old.
I'm very confused by this, because I originally, so I heard she was 16, then I saw a report saying she was 18, and so in fact it is confirmed she is 18.
She is 18 years old, and also
so she's hardly a child.
She's hardly a child. She now has to learn to take responsibility for actions. I mean, she was 15 years old a couple of years ago in Turkey when she received a citation from the president there for her role in activism. And I think that when you give citations to children to behave like this, you only encourage this kind of behavior. Also, let's remind our listeners as to the kind of education that young people get in the territories. The education to hate, the incitement kind of education we've seen with the last wave of terror, of which Rabbi Raziel Shevach is the latest victim. The level of incitement, including with child terrorists, who a good friend of ours, Colonel Rafovich, termed teenerists, because they become terrorists in their teenage years. Also, a lot of people have said, but she's been held in solitary confinement. Now, according to the law, you cannot put young prisoners and adult prisoners together. So for her own safety, she has been kept apart from the general population.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And of course, Israel mourning today a terrible murder of a rabbi on the West Bank. Bibi has said to NATO that Israeli intelligence has stopped a major terror attacks in Europe. We started seeing that story come through at the end of yesterday. Tell us about this.
Yes, so Prime Minister Netanyahu, addressing ambassadors of various NATO countries, mentioned that the world is threatened by radical Sunni groups, initially led by Al-Qaeda and now by the Islamic State, and radical Shiites led by Iran. And he hinted that Israeli intelligence stopped major terror attacks, and he made references to 9/11 type attacks against European targets using hijacked aircraft. So we don't know more than than this, but we do know that he used the term civil aviation. And he said that when we talk about ISIS or Daesh, as ISIS is known in the region, it's important to understand that Israel helps Europe in two fundamental ways. Well, the one is through our intelligence services, providing information that has stopped dozens of major terrorist attacks. And the others, he just says that there are some that would be the worst kind of terror attack because they involve civil aviation. And there he stopped. He didn't elaborate more than that. But he has spoken about the fact that Israel now has the Islamic State on the retreat in Sana'a, and that through the efforts of various countries, we do have ISIS on the retreat in Syria and Iraq. And he says that Israel continues to contribute in preventing in many, many ways these kind of terror attacks. And he says that Israel is the most powerful indigenous force in the Middle East that fights this kind of radicalism.
What's interesting to me is why he chose now, why the timing, why he would have released that type of information, or certainly a hint of that information to NATO. Is there any speculation with that regard? In that regard,
I think first of all, it's the audience that he's speaking to. He's speaking to NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It is an organization that is organized militarily. So I think he understood his audience very, very well. And if we have to look out on the region, I think definitely the timing is very coincidental with what is happening in Iran. The movements that we have seen, or the overtures or lack of overtures we have seen between the United States and Iran, the countdown to whether or not Trump is going to sign that Iranian nuclear deal waiver, and also the changing climate in the Middle East. Towards the end of last year, we saw relations between Israel and various Gulf states significantly warming up. Relations between Israel and the Saudis are warming up, in fact, to the point where our opposition in the Knesset has actually said perhaps we need to give curatorship or guardianship of the Temple Mount of Muslim holy sites to the Saudis. So that's a very, very interesting idea that's come from them. So we are seeing a change in the temperature of the Middle East, and also with the significant amount of victories that we've seen the United States, various other countries, European countries, and Israel have against radical elements in the region.
Staying with Netanyahu, he has responded to accusations against Yair Netanyahu. We spoke about this yesterday, where the Prime Minister, son, a couple of years ago, made some very off-color comments, and this has now found its way into the press.
Well, he actually addressed this at the same meeting where he was speaking to ambassadors of NATO's NATO countries, and he said that he had raised his two sons to respect everyone and to respect every woman. He reiterated that he vehemently opposes the exclusion of women from public affairs, and that women should play more central roles in academia, science, and the Air Force. I think he heard Oprah's speech and took it to heart. And he said that he does not remember the gas tycoon Maimon, who benefited from the gas deal, nor did his son have any kind of idea or sense about the industry. And he also went on to say that like we discussed yesterday, that it's a coincidence because it's coming out in the press now. And we have heard Yair Netanyahu say, you know, he was drunk at the time. He did make some off-color comments, and, you know, he perhaps shouldn't have made them. And the Prime Minister also called out the news channel that had bought this leaked footage from the driver, and he said that I think that Channel 2, which was the broadcaster, should give notice of whether it bought the leaked recordings, and if so, how much it paid. Security arrangements are not things that should be discussed publicly.
Absolutely right. And one does wonder where that story is going to go. I want to move across to France. Arson attack on the third anniversary of the Hyper Cacher shooting in Paris leaves many French Jews feeling vulnerable. Tell us about this.
Well, first of all, you know, as I said to you offline this morning, that it's very hurtful to, you know, to look at the news and see the incidents of anti-Semitism being reported from around the world.
All around the world. Incredible.
I see that in Vienna, two men were arrested for provocatively flying an Israel or waving an Israeli flag at a rally after Trump announced his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I don't know how you provocatively wave a flag. The other incident that is also a huge cause for concern are reports coming in about Delta Airlines, the American Airlines.
Yes, I've been trying to follow the story. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Well, it would appear from what I understand that several Israeli staff members have now filed suit against Delta Airlines for the way that they have treated staff, and it's not just one or two people, it's several people. They've been subject to the treatment where they feel they have been singled out, derogatory slurs. They feel that the anti-Semitic slurs like Hel Aviv, calling the flight attendants and the ground staff baby killers, and a whole flight attendants have been told you need to stash your Jew stuff. So comments that are really, really derogatory and hurtful. So this is an ongoing story to watch, but it has come out from quite a number of people that Delta Airlines follows some really, really anti-Semitic practices. And then, of course, we go to France. Of the last couple of years has seen a significant rise in anti-Semitism, a very worrying rise in anti-Semitism. And as you just mentioned, 3 years ago, there were the terror attacks, the shootings at the satire publication Charlie Hebdo. And this culminated in a shootout, a hostage situation and a shootout at the Hyper Caché, which is a kosher supermarket where four people, Jewish people, were killed. And on the anniversary of these attacks, there was an arson attack on another Jewish shop, this time owned by a Muslim. And the business owner is absolutely heartbroken. He says, you know, he's absolutely sickened by the arson attack that has gutted his kosher business. He says, I just feel sick. The 44-year-old Muslim owner who has asked to remain anonymous, and we can understand why. We can understand that he probably fears reprisal attacks by those who are out there who possibly committed the attacks. It absolutely gutted this French kosher grocery store, and of course it revitalizes it and brings to attention the vulnerability and the fear that many French Jews have. Israel's ambassador to France, Aliza Ben-Nun, called the fire shameful, a shameful provocation, and it just you know, it took place in a suburb of Paris, Sarcelles, which is known as Little Jerusalem, and it really has hurt the French Jewish community quite significantly, and they are understandably feeling under siege and very, very vulnerable.
And an incredible amount of French Jews have made Aliyah. It certainly made a big the French Jews have made a large impact on current Israeli society.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't walk around Tel Aviv without seeing the influences from the French. I mean, I'm thrilled. The phenomenal cheeses and wines are coming into the country, which is as somebody who enjoys her cheese and her wine, I'm quite happy about. But if you are in Tel Aviv in the summer, in August, you could be forgiven for thinking that you're on the French Riviera. So there's a wonderful French flavor to our very, very diverse and exciting society. And we thank the French for that.
Although one of the articles that I read was that the French government, and specifically the tax authorities, have set up a division where they've employed a lot of Israelis and Jews to try and make sure that French Jews that are either living in Israel or commuting back and forth are fully tax compliant. And I think that made people, certainly French Jewry, a little even more uncomfortable than they already are.
Well, absolutely. You know, if you speak to the French, a lot of them make what we call fiscal aliyah. They split their time between Israel and France. You know, not all of them make full aliyah, and this is now under investigation. And you can understand why we would be very, very sensitive to the way that it has been set up, because once again, it feels that France's Jews are being singled out as opposed to the rest of the country or to other immigrants.
Very, very frightening indeed. And Rolene, I see there, whilst we've been speaking, there has been a breaking news story that there was a stabbing attack near Be'er Sheva. There doesn't seem to be much much information on it yet.
Well, let me check the wires now. I'm getting one wounded in stabbing attack at Be'er Sheva bus station. It may be criminal.
Okay.
It may be criminal and not what we call nationalistic or terror attack. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Certainly we will. And at 5:54, we'll be chatting to Rolene Marks tomorrow, same time, same place. That's Rolene with the Israel Report.